I'd like to draw your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. There's two preliminary thoughts that I'd like for us to establish in our mind before I get into the scripture or the story. The first one is the things that we put value in. Every one of us have different value system, in the sense that there's different things that you and I enjoy or delight in. You can think of it along the line of what it is that you collect. I have an aunt that collects thimbles. Thimbles. Okay? But you see, you probably look at that way for the things that I enjoy. You say, well, Brother Ziegler, what do you collect? I collect deer antlers, and on a small scale. And I've been finding out the value of deer antlers. I read an article this week that deer antlers, cast deer antlers, ones that have been discarded by the animal, dropped them in January, February, March, or something, that they are worth $1,000 a pound in China. Well, I got the scale out and weighed the biggest antler that I have, and it weighs 2.5 pounds. You add that up real quick. That one antler is worth $2,500 over. Now, I'm free to tell you that without fear of being stolen, because you can't ship them to China. I don't have to worry about somebody sneaking in and getting it, thinking that they're going to get $2,500, because that value is only on their own native antlers. But when you think about the value of them, it's like, who in the world, I even admit that, who in the world is going to spend that much money on antlers? Now, there's also a value to them here in the States as well, not quite as high as what it is for China, and completely on a different level or a different reason. But to me, it's intriguing. You know, we have our value system, don't we? Now, I would never go out and spend that kind of money that maybe even the United States holds in value on white-tailed deer antlers. But it's incredible. Some people collect silver dollars or coins, old coins. You'll watch them over at Dinkies when they show up, and it's amazing how quick they can get going on the bidding, because there's people there that are interested in purchasing that old coin that's solid silver or perhaps a rarity being one of gold. And, well, they just grab things up. Prices go real high. Value system. What is it that we hold dear? The second thing is probably to the opposite extreme as that you can get, really, and that is the word bankruptcy. I didn't realize until a few years ago how much money you had to have to go bankrupt. I know a person that was at the bottom, didn't think there was any possible way out. I'm not going to deal with the ramifications of all of that, but didn't have anything. And so somebody else was going to put up the $750 that was necessary to go bankrupt. Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand that. You got to have $750 just to file for bankruptcy. But what does the word bankruptcy mean? Let me give you what Webster tells us that bankruptcy means. See if you can get a hold of this definition. A debtor who, upon voluntary petition or one invoked by his or her creditors, is judged legally insolvent and whose remaining property is administered for those creditors and distributed among them. Can somebody repeat that definition to me? You got it, right? It's all right there in your grasp. Let's make it a little easier. Webster did make it a little easier for us. The second definition of bankruptcy is one lacking a given resource or quality. Or down the line there, he said, destitute of a given quality. You know, someone that is perhaps bankrupt of mercy. You've heard of that before, probably. The adjective form of the word bankruptcy or bankrupt would be that of insolvency or insolvent, financially ruined. But then this other one, it's a one-word definition. It's called depleted. Depleted. That's the word I want to stick in your mind. Not all those big, lengthy definitions or bankrupt of mercy stuff, but just simply depleted. You say, Brother Ziegler, what are you doing here? You're talking about the value of thimbles or coins or antlers, and then you're talking about depleted bankruptcy. Well, it all comes together in a story that's found here in Matthew chapter 13. Just a very short story. Some of these parables are only one verse long. This particular story that Jesus gives us is actually two verses. It's found in verse 45 and verse 46. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. Merchant is one who buys and sells for a profit. Someone who has something that they hold in value and they're pursuing that particular item. And in the scripture it tells us that this particular merchant was one seeking goodly pearls. And when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Can you use your imaginative eye this morning and try to paint a picture of what this is? Here's a man walking down the street. I doubt it's the street of Shoals, but it could be. But he's walking down a street somewhere and he's looking in the windows of the shops that are along the street. And there, lo and behold, inside one of these shop windows, probably on a velvet pillow in a locked case, probably with an alarm system on it, but he finds a pearl of great price. And he stands outside that window and he admires it for quite a long time. He's enjoying what he's seeing because he holds this value, the value of this item, very high. He realizes that this is quality stuff. Finally, he gets up enough nerve and he walks into the store and he walks over to that case and looks inside it closer now, and he's observing the beauty and enjoying the value of this pearl. The shop owner makes his way over to that because he also understands the value of this pearl and doesn't want somebody to make an attempt on stealing it. So he walks over and kindly asking, "Sir, is there something I can do for you today?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm just looking at this beautiful pearl." Well, any good salesman knows that the best way to sell something is for them to handle it. "Well, sir, would you like to hold the pearl?" "Oh, you would allow me to hold this pearl?" "Well, sure. Sure, I'll let you hold it." So he unlocks the case and he pulls out that pillow and he picks up the pearl and he hands it to this merchant man who understands the intricate value that is now placed in his hand. And the longer he holds it, the more he looks at it, the more he admires it, the more he wants to know, just somewhere deep down in his heart, the more he wants to know what the price tag is that's attached to it. Just for the sake of knowing. Because he understands that surely this is out of his reach. And so he finally asked the owner of the store. He said, "Sir, how much is this particular pearl? You know, I can go home and tell my friends and my family that I was holding this expensive pearl." And the man looked at him and said, "Well, it's a lot of money." He said, "Well, I understand that. I'm sure it's a lot of money, but how much? What is the price tag?" He said, "Well, it'll take everything you own. It'll take everything that you have." "Well, yeah, but what's the price?" He said, "Well, why don't you just negotiate with me?" He said, "It'll take everything that you have." Well, so he reached for his billfold with his other hand and he's pulling out some money and he's digging into the stashes that are hidden down in the man's billfold. Any men want to say ouch right there? You know, there's something about a man's billfold that has all these hidden compartments. You know, fishing money and hunting money and whatever kind of money that's tucked down in there. Computer money or whatever. And so he's digging out all of this money and he's pulling it out of every which way. And he hands it to the owner. He said, well, what about that? There's quite a bit of money right there. He said, does that come close? Does that reach it? Does that meet the need? And he said, well, I told you that it would take all that you have. He said, well, that's it. Well, what about your bank account? And the guy said, really? My bank account and the pearl's mine? He said, I told you to take everything that you have. And so he ran home. He laid the pearl down and back on the pillow, and he ran home, grabbed his bank book, and ran back to the bank, and he drew out every penny that he had, closed out the account, and went back to the merchant or to the store and laid that money down. He said, okay, can I have the pearl now? And he said, I told you, sir, that it would take everything that you have. He said, sir, that's it. I don't have anything else. That's all the money that I have. But we're made to believe that it's more than just the money here. The man looked at him, the owner of the store looked at him and said, what about your house? My house. Well, that's the only place that I have to live, and I have to have a place to live, and I can't get rid of my house. I've got to have my house. And he said, well, I told you that it'll take everything that you have. Do you want the pearl or not? Do you really value this pearl? Do you really desire to have this pearl? Finally, the man looked at him. He said, yeah, I guess so. He said, so he ran and got the deed to his house and brought it back and handed the deed over to the shop owner. And he turned again and looked at that pearl, realizing how close he was to actually having that in his own possession, his own personal possession. He was reaching for it when the shop owner said, well, wait a minute, what about your car? Oh, back then it was a donkey or something, I realized, but my car. I have to have a car to get back and forth to work. Oh yeah, by the way, what about your job? You're going to have to give me your job too. My car and my job. Well, that's what I said. I told you that it was going to take everything that you had. He thought it over for a while, and the only way that we know that this takes place is because the Scripture tells us that it takes place. He gave up his car and he gave up his job. Thinking that now that's the last step he's going to have to take, or the last step he's going to have to make, and now the pearl is surely going to be his, when the shop owner stopped him once again and said, well, I see that you have a cell phone on your belt. Somebody told me this week that one of the highest items that is being given up for Lent this year is cell phones. Aren't you glad you're not Catholic? But in reality, Jesus is asking for the cell phone as well. That's what he's saying. Oh, but I can't give up my cell phone. That's the only way that I have to keep in touch with my family or keep in touch with my friends. That's the only way that I can communicate with everybody. That's the only way that I can keep up on all the gossip, all the stories that's going around. All that stuff. Yeah. Boy, some people would go into some major withdrawal without their texting ability or their cell phone in their hand. Yeah, they sleep at night with it. Everything about their lives seemed to revolve around the cell phone. You know, I'm told that in at the high school they're not allowed to have cell phones, or they're not allowed to use the cell phone or something like that, and yet there's kids that still, text and carry on with their cell phones during the school day, and teacher or principal or whoever, I told you to put that phone away. I told you to put the, they're just addicted to the cell phone. I better get off of that. Yes, I believe that this store owner is asking for the man's cell phone. And he hands it over only to be moving in such a way that his coat moves aside and the shop owner sees his MP3 player that's on the other side and notices that the cord goes up around and the earbuds are dangling around his neck. Oh, you say, Brother Ziegler, surely not my music. I've got a lot of music stuck on this thing. You know, it's a 4 gig or whatever it is. So many songs. so much music, so much time, and so much enjoyment wrapped up in this player of mine. I can't give it up. Oh, but the merchant realizes that if he's going to obtain the pearl that he's holding or that he's looking at, he's going to have to give up this particular item as well. We may get into a little bit of a stretch here in our imagination, but I do believe that it's included. For a 16-year-old person, it may also, or it will also include giving up their driver's license. Now, that's not a big deal for some of us necessarily, although it would really hinder our style. But for a 16-year-old person, giving up their driver's license, that is pretty rough. But I believe that it's included in what he's saying here. How about that date coming up Friday night? Okay, you teenagers that may be in that rank. Oh yeah, it doesn't matter how beautiful she is, how wonderful she is. Yeah, you've got to give up the date. You know, it's easy for me to preach against something or preach about something or say that somebody has to give something up that's not really close to me. So let's just turn this around and get a little transparent here. For your sake, if for nobody else's sake, what about all that hunting equipment? Yep, you see, that's included too. Oh, you're a hunter. You want to buy this pearl, then you're going to have to give everything that you have. That includes all of those tree stands, all of those guns and the bow and the arrows and the broadheads and the bullets and the targets and that deer decoy you just bought this week. Got a good price on it too, $207 marked down to $32.50. Yeah, it's hard to get rid of that, huh? Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you want this pearl of great price, you're going to have to give me all of that hunting. Or maybe it's fishing. Brother Snyder was mentioning just a little bit this morning in Sunday school class about his former desire or involvement with fishing. Yeah, there's some people, maybe not anybody here, that are just really wrapped up in fishing, and they have all kinds of stuff, and they can tell you all of the details about their fishing endeavors. My youngest brother just won a tournament last Saturday. He could tell you a lot of stuff about fishing. A perch tournament. It wasn't even a big bass tournament. It was just simply a perch. But you see, different people place different values on different things. You say, you're getting carried away here, Brother Ziegler. No, not necessarily. For Jesus is the one speaking here, and he said when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had in order to buy that one pearl. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about when he said, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto this particular story. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, for me to live is Christ. What Paul's saying there in that very simple phrase is that his life revolves around Jesus Christ, not around his home or his car or his job or his cell phone or his music or whatever it is that is holding somebody else away from serving God in its entirety or in their entirety. But he said, for me to live, for me to breathe, for me to function is Christ. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 6, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Crucified unto me. The world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. What is he saying? He's basically reiterating what he said to the Philippians. For me to live is Christ. There's nothing in this world that holds any value to me more than the value that is placed upon my relationship to Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, he said, "And they that are Christ's." He's not saying they that have two works of grace in Christ. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, you don't have to take that word lust into an area that we would think of in the realms of shadiness or morals, but simply the desires, affections and desires, whatever they might be. Crucified the flesh with all of the affections and the desires. Now let's look again at what Jesus had to say. Not right here in this passage of Matthew chapter 13, but let's go to Luke chapter 14. Jesus said, "If any man come to me..." Now these are some pretty strong words. We talked about radicalism and how radical it is to be a Christian in reality. These are some radical words here. Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters..." Well, I can hear some teenagers saying, "Oh yeah." That's not what he's talking about. No, that's not what he's talking about, getting rid of your brothers and sisters. Nope. "Yea, and his own life also." Well, he wraps it up there, doesn't he? He just wraps the whole life up. Father, mother, wife, siblings, and my own life. Jesus said it very plainly, very simply. He said, "He cannot be my disciple." Cannot be my disciple. The next verse said, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now the question may come up in your mind this morning, what does he really mean there by saying take up his cross or bear his cross and come after me? Well, we could go back to what I first gave you out of Philippians, where Paul said to the Philippian church, "For me to live is Christ." For me to live is Christ. That's what he's saying. Verse number 33 of that same chapter, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Well, there he's using the same terminology that he did in Matthew chapter 13. All that he has. "And when he found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had." So Jesus is saying over here in Luke 14, 33, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Let me give you what the Amplified said for that verse. "Any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender, claim to, give up, say goodbye to, all that he has cannot be my disciple." A beautiful song that is always enjoyed to be sung or to be heard sung by Mrs. M.J. Harris. She puts it this way: "Though the way be straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. All I claimed. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay." Is she suggesting that everything that we hold dear to us, everything that we think moves our lives, has to be burnt with the match? "At my feet in ashes lay." Is that what she's saying? I don't think so. I don't think that she's saying that all that we have laid claim to is swept away by some tidal wave. But I believe that what she's saying is and suggesting is exactly what Jesus is suggesting or asking of his followers in these passages of Scripture, that we give all that we have. I don't know how people write such beautiful words. Lanny Wolf really touched on it as well in a song that he wrote. "Take my houses and my lands." You know, he's referring there to his personal possessions. Take everything that I possess. To draw me closer to you, is what it said. Is that what it takes? You know, we say we want a relationship with God. We say that we want to have God's presence. We say that we want Him to abide with us on a daily basis, to walk with us. Take my houses. Take my possessions. Depleted. You say, what do you mean? Depleted of oneself. Depleted of oneself. It is no longer I, but Christ that liveth within me. Another songwriter penned the words to a song that ought to be sung from the depths of our heart on a regular basis, whether or not we're in church. Could be in our home. Could be driving down the road. I surrender all. All to Thee I give. That's what it takes for us to obtain the pearl of great price. Now, it doesn't take a great theologian to understand that Jesus is picturing the kingdom of heaven or the things of God wrapped up in this pearl of great price. We could look at it like this, that this pearl of great price is the redemptive plan of salvation, of reconciliation of humanity to God. What value do we place on our soul? What value do we place upon eternal life? What value is there to having the smile of God's approval? For different people, it's different values. And it shows in how they act and how they live their lives and what attachments they make in this world. Sunday school lesson was a part of that as well. We are not of this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Let me read it once again. Or let me back up to verse 44, for it's part of it as well, just a different parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Selleth all that he hath. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That means everything. That means my money. That means my clothes, my car, my job, my house, my room, my future, my music, my cell phone, my driver's license. That date or that desire of a date. Or whatever it is that is coming to your mind right now. The thing that you hold dear in this world, in this life. That doesn't mean that God expects us to throw it all away, that you can't have a driver's license, you can't have a date, you can't have a wife or a husband or kids or any of those things that we've mentioned. That's not the point. The point is that we give them to God in His authority and in His ownership, and we live our life pleasing to Him. Surrendered. It is no longer I, but for me to live is Christ. Stand with me, please.